John and Saul while walking along, a lame man begging alms by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a cripple was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store.
And a very pleasant good Thursday afternoon to you. It's hard to believe we've hit the midpoint of April. And this would have been D-Day for individual tax returns, but it got pushed to the 17th. And of course, the businesses and things like that still have. And I'm not sure if you know you owe how that works, but if you haven't done yours, you have to. I believe it's May the 17th to get it done. But April 15th, tax day. That's a day that won't exist in heaven. We won't have any more of that to deal with, will we? Yeah, our deed was signed and recorded in blood, and it's paid in full. And so I've had a song that we played at Swap Shop time, and I've been singing it all day in my brain. And I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. And I tell you what, its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Hallelujah. Well, we hope you've had a good day today. And if you enjoyed the change in temperature, we had the station recorded, let's see here, a low of 44 and a high of 78. That's going to probably be from yesterday, the way they take their temp readings. We had a low of 49, and it looks like the high today would have been 69. So big difference in what we've been seeing. And we'll look at weather here in just a minute. There is a little bit of a caveat that the National Weather Service is throwing out for people in certain areas about frost tonight. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. First of all, we want to say thank you to some folks. Today, the 15th day of April, AM 720, being sponsored by the New Hope Baptist Church in Brevard in honor of Pastor Lee Patrick and his wife Bethany on their second wedding anniversary. Also in honor of their daughter Georgia. And I hope I pronounced that right. It could be Georgia, but it could be Georgia. So whatever it is, happy, well, it's not a birthday, but in honor of her, and happy second wedding anniversary to Pastor Patrick and his wife Bethany. And we pray you have many, many, many more. And the sponsorship today, the church says they thank the Lord for sending them to the church. Amen. FM 94.9, the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, the music, and the video channels, is being sponsored by Furman and Sandra Anders because God has been so good. And they just want to make sure they thank Him. Well, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? Amen. God has been good. And boy, it is good to thank Him. In fact, the Bible's full of praise the Lord's and praising for this and thanking for that, especially when you get into the Psalms. So, yeah. And so we'd like to say thank you to the Anders today. We appreciate you folks sponsoring FM 94.9 and the network, and hope that you've had a great day so far as well. Birthday wishes going out today to Mr. David Whitmire. Pray you had a great day today on your special day. I know that they had today the farm to family boxes that came in at 3:30. I'm not sure what time that ends. It may have already ended. I'm not sure. But they had more than they normally get. So that is, I guess, a good thing. I think they had 500 of them this time. And so, that's a blessing that we're able to do that. And I'm grateful for that. That's something that really, really, really helps. All right, let's jump over here to traffic. And Yeah, it's a mess. Okay, let's start up in the top of Asheville, 240. And as you come around the curve there, headed westbound, and you get past the overpass at Charlotte Street, you're going to slow down. Then you're going to slow down some more when you get to the interchange there, and you're going to stay slow all the way almost to I-26. Not quite, but almost to the new 26 there. Then we're coming off across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. Is slow but moving. But then it really slows down if you're trying to go to alternate 74. That's real slow through there. Then if they're coming up to 40, we're looking at about a couple miles as you curve into the go across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. That's actually slower. So we've got problems there. Now let's come down to Malfunction Junction, which is malfunctioning. As you come off of 40, headed east onto 26 in both directions, and 240, you're going to be real slow, stop and go. And I don't know, maybe there's a camera view up that way. Let's see if I can get one. Not sure. These are still pictures, but okay, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic there. Okay. So it is definitely, I can't see it moving like I can in Greenville. So I don't know. But there's just some spots that are dark, dark red, which means that it's basically stop and go. And then it gets a little better. And then we'll come out and tell you that 112 Sardis Road, it is headed westbound, pretty backed up from 191 all the way up into Sand Hill. Then let's go back to 26. We got slow going between the Brevard Road and Long Shoals Road. And then we have a little bit of a break, and then we have slow going from, if you're headed from the airport up, there's a little stretch there that's moving, but it is slow. And let's see here, 191 and 146, which is Long Shoals, that is real slow in there. I-26, once you get into Henderson County, is actually looking pretty good. And it's looking pretty good in Polk County as well. And then 64 looks pretty decent. Also headed out to Etowah and even out to Brevard. But when you get to the Lowe's area there in Brevard and Acosta Road, you're going to see some slowdowns in the northbound lane. So be aware of that. Let's take a look here at I-40. And that looks good going down the gorge. And we don't look too bad going down to Old Fort either. So there is that. Let's head over to Greenville and Spartanburg and take a look and see what's going on there. And Spartanburg County, 85, starting out Cherokee County coming down, looks pretty good. 585, the business 85 looks good. So when we get into the line, the Greenville County line, that we start having issues. So we got a problem here. Let's take a look at this. We have at I-85 between Brockman-McClyman Road, the Greer, and Pelham Road. This is going to be, of course, southbound. What else would it be? The average speed is 20 miles an hour for 5 miles. Okay, and I'm watching it. It is looks slower than that, actually, right? That camera view. And this one is about the same. So southbound is really, really slow right now. But when we get down to 56, mile marker 56, both directions are super slow. The northbound's better. The southbound's very slow. And then we come down to Pelham, and my goodness, it is a parking lot. Southbound's a parking lot. Northbound is a parking lot trying to move about 4 or 5 miles an hour and actually getting some progress, but southbound is a nightmare at Pelham. You're going to want to get off if you can. And then the northbound starts all the way back inside the Gateway Project, inside the loop there on 85. And what we have is an accident that's causing that. And that accident there is I-85 north between 48B, US 276 northbound, and exit 56, which is why we have the problem past Pelham. And that is an average speed of 15 mile an hour, and the distance is 5 miles. So looking at the cameras there, that's just crawling as well. So yeah, you're lit up today, Greenville. Don't know what happened, but it's a mess in Greenville this afternoon. All right, so we'll take care of that. Now, let's jump over here to weather. Before I give you the weather forecast, the Weather Service is saying this outlook is for Rabun County in northeast Georgia, Buncombe, southern Jackson, Transylvania, and Henderson counties in western North Carolina. Overnight tonight, patchy frost may develop into Friday morning, especially across the sheltered and lower mountain river valleys. Okay, so that's what they're saying. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 37. Now, the north wind will be 9 to 11. That's going to make it feel colder, with gusts as high as 21 miles an hour. That's going to make it feel really cold. Tomorrow, we're going back up to sunny skies with a high near 63. And then Friday night, a 20% chance of showers after 3 a.m. and a low only around 43. Then Saturday was when we were expecting the showers, and they're likely between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. with a high near 56. It's going to be kind of a colder rain after having all this warmth we've had. And then they say the chance of precipitation is 60%, but less than a tenth of an inch possible. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers, mainly before 7, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Then Sunday, we're back up to sunny skies with a high near 63, low of 40. Monday, high of 66. Monday night, low of 43. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, 66 at a low of 43. So it looks like we have some sunshine coming on the way next week. But tonight's the big night with the low around 37. Some places will get more or less. Sometimes cold air will dam up into the lower valleys and actually be colder below. So if you have anything that you have, tender vegetation, anything that you need to bring in or can bring in or take care of, you want to do that if you can. So that's coming up tonight. That's going to be a shock to the system after what we've been experiencing, that's for sure. So keep that in mind. All right. And let's take a look here at some updates and things. And we, of course, as you know, have mounted a relief effort and for St. Vincent. And Anchor Baptist Disaster Relief has done that. Pastor Barton initiated that back at the beginning of the week. And we're collecting, and we'll give the donations that came. We'll tell you how you can give. But I'm going to go over here to My Sea Hope. This was posted 4 hours ago today. And this is from Captain Perrier. It says, the volcano on St. Vincent has continued to erupt and earthquakes are happening. The red zone on the island has been evacuated and there is no way to assess the extent of the damage other than to say it is catastrophic. We are busy wrapping up several upgrades to Sea Hope, and a shipyard in Bahia La Batra has agreed to haul us out next week so we can do our annual bottom maintenance early. This will allow us to go to work in the Caribbean without having to interrupt relief work. By God's grace, we are preparing a relief mission to St. Vincent. Mary and I were headed to get our Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccination Wednesday when the FDA paused using the particular one-shot vaccine. Now we're scheduled for the Pfizer vaccines, but won't get the second shot until May 7th. As a result, we're targeting a sale date of Wednesday, May the 12th. Our plan is to go to Puerto Rico, about 1,500 nautical miles, top off fuel, then go to St. Vincent. How long we will be in St. Vincent is unknowable since we don't have information on where we will unload and how the folks there will be able to handle the tons of material we will carry. Afterwards, we will return to Puerto Rico and start operating from there. Right now, the future beyond this trip is unclear. Hurricane season starts on June the 1st, and the dangerous storms come from mid-August until mid-October, so we may have other disasters ahead. Please pray for us. Literally, we are in uncharted territory here. No one has set a precedent for what we are undertaking, but we go boldly by faith, trusting in Him to guide us. And if you go to Facebook, My Sea Hope, right underneath that post, they have a beautiful picture of the ship at night and in the water there, just a really nice picture that you can see. And then, of course, on their webpage, which they have on their Facebook page, you can click on the, you'll see their website. You can see lots of pictures there as well. They also put up a video 19 hours ago of they call Operation ROC, Reaching Our Caribbean. And they have a video of them shoveling 6 inches of thick ash off of the roofs to prevent the roofs from collapsing. And I tell you, I've never seen anything quite like it. So, as we said yesterday, the ship's cost for the trip's about $16,000, and then paying for the cargo and things. And, you know, he said, God burdened Mary and me 2.5 years ago for such a time as this. And I have often wondered why God kept opening up so many doors and making a way when there was no way. Now I know. So we're looking forward to them getting that taken care of. Glad to hear that they've been able to get things moved up to get some of the things done on the ship to be able to sail pretty from Bayou La Batra, that's in Alabama right now, they're in Gulfport, Mississippi. To be able to sail from there to Puerto Rico is quite a haul. And then from Puerto Rico down to the islands there, there's a lot of miles between the islands. I mean, you look at the waters there, and so like from Miami, if I remember correctly, from Miami to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands is 1,400 miles. And that was one of the trips that we did with the seniors in a senior missions trip, was to go there. So it's a very interesting journey. And of course, there's a lot of flight. And I do remember that the runway goes out into the water. So when you're landing, it looks like you're actually going to land in the water because you can't see that there's a runway that juts out there. And one of the girls looking out the window about had a heart attack. She was like, there's nothing there but water. There's nothing there but water. There's I said, the pilot knows what he's doing. They've done this many times. I don't think he wants to land in the water, okay? So, yeah, well, it's amazing when someone hasn't flown before. Every little thing makes them a little jittery. I remember I was on the aisle seat and a lady was next to me and her son, who was really young, was next to her. And he's looking out. She was jittery. You could tell she did not want to fly. And he says, those wings don't look like they'd hold up much. And that just sent her into orbit. And, of course, he was saying all kinds of things. And I was thinking, boy, you're not helping. We got in the air and we hit turbulence and the plane dropped. And when we did, she took her hand and she had the longest, sharpest fingernails. And I was wearing a long sleeve, white shirt, button up shirt that you would go to church in, and she clawed me and drew blood. I actually had blood on my white shirt. And I finally said, man, we're okay. If you could just quit digging your nails into me, I would appreciate it. So, oh, my goodness. Well, I used to love to fly. I can't do it anymore. But I tell you what, flying is so much better than driving for me. So, but anyhow, it is what it is. Let me say thank you to some folks. And we've had some pledges come in today. Miss Juanita McCall, $85 today. Thank you so much. Miss Alma Hamilton, $85 today. Thank you so much. Also, we have three no names, one in the amount of $500, one in the amount of $40, and one in the amount of $50, which brings our total up to $6,680 today as we are taking the relief efforts that we can give them money. They can get all the materials that they need to take in, and literally they're going to take in food, which is rice and beans, and cleaning supplies, building supplies. There's just a lot of things that are needed. And then also the other things would be things that you don't think about in a catastrophe. Now, the Sea Hope can purify 1,000 gallons of water a day. They're going to have to get away from the ash, probably going to have to go to one side of the island where the ash flow didn't go and find a spot and then be able to bring that water in. So there's a lot of logistics that they won't even know till they get there, just what they can do. But do remember that. I know they would appreciate it. But here's some ways that you can do it. You can donate through an online secure portal at anchorbaptist.net or go to wgcr.net and find the St. Vincent Disaster Relief there and click on the donate now. It'll take you right to that portal and you can give there, and you can put for St. Vincent. And then if you want to do it by phone, it's area code 828-884-9427, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express, any one of those, 828-884-9427. You can mail a check to ABMI at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, 28768. The check is made payable to ABMI. And those are the three ways that you can get money if the Lord lays it on your heart for the disaster efforts there in St. Vincent. Of course, as they said, it's still going on. It's still an active scene with the earthquakes and the aftershocks and the aftermath, which makes things all the more difficult for them. So continue to pray. And one thing that we can do, we all can do, that know the Lord, we can pray and ask God to intervene and touch heaven. And I believe in these last days, we're going to find that things are going to get progressively worse as a world has stepped over many, 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 many lines. Those lines of where God says this is beyond the beyond. And I believe America has stepped over every single one. We have one left. And that's when we turn our back on Israel. And when that happens, you're going to see things a whole lot different. There's been no greater nation since 1948 that has stood behind Israel as the United States has. And even our last president was very pro-faith, pro-life, pro-Israel, and pro-church. So, but when we see that last tie go, the promise was, I'll bless them that bless Abraham, and I'll curse them that curse Abraham. And as I said yesterday, the first group of people to ever be persecuted for no reason, and just because of who they were, a different set of people, was Israel when they were down in Egypt after Joseph died and time went by. There rose up a Pharaoh who didn't know anything about Joseph and what Joseph had done. And it took 10 plagues for God to get his attention. 10 plagues. The last one was the death of the firstborn. And still, after he let them go, he then went after them. And God hedged them in between the mountains, the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army. And God was going to show Israel a thing or two, and God was going to show Egypt a thing or two. God was going to show Israel, walk by faith, stand still, and see the salvation of God. Just watch God work. And then God split the Red Sea. And folks, we're talking about millions of people. They didn't go single file. They didn't go one by one. God split that thing so they could get over on the other side, and it was all dry, and they had light, but there was a cloud between them and Pharaoh's army. And when they got over and Pharaoh's army decided they get in, God let the wall down and showed them a thing or two. And God took care of the enemy. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. They've got the Red Sea, they got the mountains, they got Pharaoh. What are we going to do? God said, stand still. Watch me. Watch me work. There are times he tells you to do something. There are times he tells you to wait. There are times he tells you to watch. And there are times he says, see what I've done? Now you trust me and you go in my might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can't do it any other way. I don't have the strength and the power to do all the things that God has called me to do since I was 14 years old. God did that. And God has worked many, many ways, many, many different places, many, many different times. And I believe that there was a, well, first of all, we know this to be true. This is 100% true. There was a group of people that were assembled, 120 people, waiting for the day of Pentecost. We know there was a start date at the church. There was a group of people called on after the Lord ascended. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which you have seen, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. Then they went and they waited in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell on them there. And they began to go, and Peter preached, and 5,000 people were saved. Well, we all know that, and you'd have to study this out like I have, but the spring feasts all have been fulfilled in Christ. He's done everything those spring feasts depict. His death, his burial, his resurrection, all of that. Then we have fall feasts. Why don't we have any feasts in the summer? Because it's harvest time. What is harvest time? The church age. That's where we're at. We're in harvest time. And in the early part, you got that first harvest, and it starts coming in, bumper crops. And then the summer harvest, it really comes in. And we get to that late fall harvest, and it begins to trickle down. And I believe we're in that fall harvest, where we're not seeing all the people saved we used to see saved, but we're still seeing people saved. And he's not slack concerning his promise. He's waiting for all to come to repentance. All won't, but he's waiting. But there's going to come a day when the last person gets in, and God knows when that's going to be. And I believe we're in the fall, and the first fall feast for the Jews was the Feast of Trumpets, and that was for a specific reason. But in the picture of God's prophecy, I believe it shows the sound of the trumpet, because John said he heard as it were, a trumpet talking with him and said, come up hither. And immediately he was in the spirit. We know that the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and shall be caught up together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we find ourselves in a particular situation where we are now at the end, and we're not dating anything. It could be another 10 years. It could be another 20 years. It could be this year. Don't know. This is what I know. We're at the tail end, and there's still jobs to do and still people that need to be saved, and the gospel that still needs to go out around the world, literally around the world. Heaven's going to be pop. Listen, if you want to get along, see people get along that are from all different walks of life, just meet a Christian person, someone who really loves the Lord, and you have instantaneous fellowship, even if you can't speak their language. I have a video, that's how old it is, of a very young family, very impressive family. They were on deputation, and they were at a church in Oklahoma. I know the church. And they wanted to give something for the missions conference offering, but they didn't have any money. And he looked at her and she looked at him. They both shook their heads, didn't say a word. She took her wedding ring off, put it in an envelope with a note that said, have it appraised, sell it, and put the money in the missions fund. The pastor of that church had it appraised but kept the ring. He was going to give it back to her. He was very impressed with her testimony and his testimony. They were going to go into Tibet, but they started in Nepal. And as young as he was one of the few missionaries that could actually preach in the language. And they didn't live in a compound. They lived right there where they looked right through their windows. And they really struck up a ministry. After a couple of years, they were on a major jet airliner, and it crashed into one of the mountains, killing the hundreds aboard on a major jet liner that was going to take them back. They were all killed. All of them, all their kids, everything. At the end of that video, when you're thinking to yourself, man, that just don't seem right. A Nepalese man with really broken English says, Joel, in heaven now with Jesus, my Savior. And man, I just break apart. I don't know how many people were saved because they didn't have the time to tell all the stories. But that one man was willing to come on camera and say what he said. And I don't always understand all things that God does. I don't always get it because I can't see it from the high perspective. I see it from a low perspective. It's amazing. One of the things that my wife and I love to do, and we've been thwarted twice, on our 39th anniversary, as she was coming out of the hospital from an operation on her knee, I was going into the hospital with double pneumonia. So we passed on our anniversary like two ships in the night and said hi and bye to each other. We love to go up to Mount Pisgah and eat at the restaurant there. I get a table by the window looking out. So we said, hey, that's all right. Next year is our 40th, which was last year. But COVID hit. So we didn't get to go again last year. But you get up there and you look down on the mountains. You look down into the valley and say, there's that old wall. That's where we lived at the time when we first started going. And you say, well, that's a different perspective. You get up in a jet and you get all the window side and you look down, that's a different perspective. And when you see that different perspective from up high, you see more of the whole. When you're down below, you're just one part that they up there can see the whole. And so God sees the whole picture and we just get a tiny little frame. The problem is, we got to be that frame that God wants us to be so we fit in our piece where we are. When we do that, things will be right. So just wanted to encourage you with that. Anytime somebody gets saved, and I had a good friend who's a singer, and he writes songs. He doesn't travel like he used to, but he wrote a song that says, if only one comes to know him by seeing him through my song, my life's been worth the living, worth all the giving. And if only one walks up to me when I reach that promised land and says, I heard about his love through a song you sang, if only one. Rodney Griffin said, if one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth all the troubles and trials, if only one. And so when someone gets saved, I heard a little boy say he got saved, and the preacher told me, said that the angels were singing in heaven. And then later on, it's the Christmas at Forest Grove. That's where it came from. The doctor gets saved, and the little boy says, I think the angels are fixing to have choir practice again. That's how much God loves it. He'll leave the 99 that don't need repentance. He'll go find the one lost sheep, and I'm grateful that he does. Let's pray and ask God to minister to hearts today and to help the Sea Hope get together everything they need to do, to get everything where it needs to be, and for the finances and the relief efforts there, as well as for your needs and things. And again, on your heart, just whatever's on your heart, I'll ask God to read your heart and to minister to you. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would minister to what people have in their hearts, things that just really matter to them. And they may not even have shared it with anyone, but you know what it is. I pray that you'd minister to them in just a very powerful way. We pray for this incredible effort to try to take care of a partial part of a need, part of a rescue effort for our brothers and sisters in Christ and others who need Christ on the island of St. Vincent, which has been devastated and still having aftershocks and things. We pray, Lord, for not only the ship to be ship shape, but also for an incident and accident-free journey and trip, to be able to make everything they need to do, the weather to be right, winds to be right, to favor and help as they try to take care of a disaster relief. We ask, Lord, that you would just minister in our homes, our hearts, our churches, touch our pastors that are preaching the word and give them the messages we need to hear. And may we see, by the grace of God, miracles, as you say, watch me work. And I pray, Lord, as we step out by faith, we'll watch you work, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton filling in for Pastor Barton, praying you have an absolutely wonderful evening.